الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent and the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Almighty Allah continue to be on our leader, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may the peace and blessings be extended to cover all members of his household, as well as all of his companions, and whoever follows their footsteps until the day of resurrection. Allahumma ameen. Tafsir al-Quran al-Kareem. This is another session of giving a commentary on the meaning of the words of Almighty Allah, Al-Quran al-Kareem. The last time we were still on the verse number 184 from Surah Al-Baqarah, and it is from that same verse that insha'Allah ta'ala we are going to commence today's tafsir session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Those are the excuses that could give you that privilege of not fasting in the month of Ramadan, the excuse of being sick, the excuse of being on a journey. But quickly, after mentioning these two excuses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. And this is the difference. If you are unable to fast because of that genuine excuse of either being sick or being on a journey, does that mean that the fast of that day is gone and gone forever? The answer to that is in this verse. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. فَعِدَّةٌ is an Arabic word that means number, the number of days. That you have an obligation as a Muslim who is unable to fast because of one or more of these genuine and acceptable excuses. What is your duty? What is my duty? If you happen to fall in that category, our duty is فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Please take note of the number of days. Allah is telling you that clearly. عِدَّة, number. You have to monitor. Remember yourself and remind yourself and make sure you do not forget. If it needs to be noted, to be written down somewhere, Allah is telling us clearly, you have to take note of those days. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Why are you taking note of them? Because you have to make up for them in some other day. When the excuse that made it impossible for you to fast is no more there, you are sick, alhamdulillah, you have now been healed of your ailment, of your sickness, you are healthy, you are strong enough, then you have to compensate, you have to make up. You are on a journey. Now, after Ramadan, you are no more traveling. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. And like I said, this particular sentence of this verse of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem is what distinguishes two important acts of ibadah that every Muslim must observe. As-Salat and As-Siyam. Two pillars of our faith. So pray five times a day is a pillar of our religion. To observe fasting in the month of Ramadan is equally another pillar of our religion. But there are differences between the two. And this is one of those differences. According to al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the faithful, Aisha radiyallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a narration, a female companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, named Mu'adha al-Adawiyya, came to Aisha to ask her a question. What was that question? She said on that day, ما بال المرأة أو ما بال المرأة تقضي الصيام ولا تقضي الصلاة. Mu'adha was asking Aisha, how come does a woman, if she misses a number of salat, she doesn't repeat those salat of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, maybe because it's menstruating, maybe because it's still seeing the postnatal bleeding after giving birth to a child. She does not pray and she does not fast. Now she's asking, what is responsible for this difference between salat and siyam? That if one misses a number of days of salat because of the same excuse like menstruation, she does not have a duty to repay. But for the same excuse of menstrual period or postnatal bleeding, the number of days that she misses in fasting, she must actually pay back. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, كُنَّا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصِّيَامِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. The answer is clear. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am one of his wives. We used to have menstrual periods that will make a break, will break our obligation
of either fasting or praying. But the Prophet would command us to repay fasting, but never commanded us to repay salat. And that is what makes a difference. And from this we can learn an important lesson. The rule in Islam is to follow what has been delivered by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not a matter of what makes sense in your own perception or what doesn't make sense. One may think that since they are similar, they are acts of ibadah, they are pillars of faith, why must we repay this and we do not repay that? The answer is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger to tell me and you to repay fasting and not to repay salat. And that is how you should, the approach we should have to every single act of our faith. Don't devise any means of worshipping God on your own. It's very dangerous. Let me underline that. Please, do not on your own devise, manufacture a way, and you will think that way will be pleasing to Almighty Allah. You have to wait for an instruction to come from Him. That is what we call religion. It is what is always based on directives, on injunctions, on instructions of Almighty Allah. He is the one to tell us, this is what I want, this is how much I want, this is even how I want it to be done, this is the number of the unit I want to be done, and so on and so forth. In fact, in some time, in some cases, it will determine, and this is the place I want you to do it. And this is the time. For example, if you want to perform Hajj, yes, you can have an object similar to Kaaba. You can build a house similar to Kaaba anywhere. But for you to perform a valid Hajj or Umrah, there is a specific place. You must get there. If you are not there, even if you make that circumambulation for 100 times, they are not valid. So we must take that lesson from this answer given by al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Religion is what is based on Allah who says and the Prophet says. Period. It's not what I think is the right thing or what you think must be pleasing to Almighty Allah. No, we don't have that power. We do not have that authority to decide for our God. He is the one to tell us what He wants, how He wants it, when He wants it, and the number of such a thing that He wants us to perform. So, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. You have to take note of the number of days in which you are unable to fast for a genuine reason, for a genuine excuse, either sickness or being on a journey, or the one that we have just mentioned too, a woman that is menstruating, a woman that has just given birth to a child will have what we call nifas, postnatal bleeding. In all of these circumstances, you must not fast. It's a duty. You must not fast. In fact, it's not a matter of option. Let's reiterate this. Let's emphasize this. It's not a matter of option that, oh, I can do it. You must not do it. This is how we should approach, how we should view. We should have this one too. Amir, have this one too. Three microphones. Okay. Inshallah. So, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Please take note of those days because you are going to compensate for them. You must make up for them after Ramadan. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ. This is another category of those who fast, who must fast as Muslims. Let me remind us. The first category is those that have no excuses whatsoever. It's alive, it's healthy, strong, and it's not on a journey. You have a duty to fast. The second category is وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ.
you are on a journey or you are sick. This is another category of people. This is the fourth category. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ. Interpreting this particular word of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, we have two approaches of the ulama, and we shall briefly explain the two. يُطِيقُونَهُ, this word, its root is أَطَّاقَ. يُطِيقُونَهُ أَطَّاقَ. And أَطَّاقَ means energy or capacity to do something. Now if Al-Qur'an is saying عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ, for those who have the capacity to do, that is one form of interpretation. Those who have capacity to fast, فِدِّيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ, they should feed a needy, a poor man or woman, miskin, every day of fasting. What does that imply? It implies the original purpose of the ruling of fasting. In the beginning, it was not made compulsory for all. It was a matter of option. That Allah has ordained, Allah has commanded you to fast. But even if you are able to fast, that was in the beginning of Islam. If you choose not to fast, then you have to feed for every single day a needy person, male or female. The second and the most authentic and the most correct interpretation was given by Ibn Abbas. That was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the most knowledgeable companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, it is usually said that his level of knowledge was so amazing that the only explanation that could be offered for such a very high and unique level of knowledge is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually prayed for him to be so knowledgeable. In one hadith, he prayed for him by saying, Allahumma faqqihu fi dini wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. So it was the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas, interpreting this verse, gave us a very clear explanation by saying this verse is actually referring to a category of people. يُتِيقُونَهُ. If they choose to fast, it is not impossible for them, but it will be very, very hard and difficult for them to do. They have the capacity. They are not incapacitated in every sense of that word. But fasting for them will accompany, or hardship or difficulty will accompany that. He went further to say, they are a sheikhu wa sheikha, that people of old age, of 80s, of 90s, and even as Allah wishes, you live until you are 100 years of age. Fasting at this age, even if you try it, will be very, very difficult for you. The Ibn Abbas said, this particular verse is referring to that category of Muslims. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدِّيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. Now, a question that may arise. Somebody that is unable to fast because of old age, can فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ apply to him or her that wait until when it is over, you now make up for those days? It doesn't. And that is what makes them a special class, a different category. Those that have temporary incapacity, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, will solve their problem. You are ill, you will not be ill throughout your lifetime. You are traveling, you shall not be traveling throughout your lifetime. So, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, will solve their own problem. Just take note of the number of days in which you are on a journey, in which you are sick or ill or incapacitated. But for those that have permanent incapacity, like a person of old age. There is no time when, if you have reached that level, it is no point of return. There is no point of return. And this reminds us also of a very important part. We are moving in this life towards that age gradually. Gradually. And when you have reached a particular point in your age, there is no going back. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a very important part that will keep you remembering Almighty Allah and being obedient to Him. Your age yesterday compared to your age today, that of yesterday has gone and gone forever. You can never regain it again. You were 39 last year and 40 this year. That 39 has gone forever. And that is why, Allahu Akbar, one of the great predecessors of Islam, look at how they put it in a beautiful way, words of wisdom. He met someone and asked him about his age. What is your age? And that one proudly, innocently, as we, all of us can behave that way. Ah, my age? I'm 50. I'm 50. I'm 70. You look at me as a small kid. He said that with every sense of pride. But he didn't know the intention of that scholar. Scholars of Islam, they have a different way of, they have different ways of looking at things. The man proudly said, I am 60 years old. If it is today, he may even celebrate a birthday at 60 and court case. Do you know what the scholar of Islam told him? So, from 60 years, you have been moving towards your grave. You are about to reach. You are very close. And that is the truth. Somebody that has embarked on a journey for 60 years is close to his or her destination. Please, let us remind ourselves of this fact always. The Prophet said that Amaru Ummati, the age of majority of my Ummah, this nation of Islam, will be between 60 and 70. If Allah has been so merciful on you to have crossed 60, he's so merciful on you. Take care. Be mindful of yourself. You are getting closer to grace. Zadmundu sitina aman. Anta tasa'a tamshi ila al-qabr tushiku antahi. So you have been moving towards your grave for 60 years. You are almost there. You are almost there. That is the truth. The angels that are recording the age of every one of us, each time you say, I have added 1 year to my age, their own recording will say, it is minus one of what Allah has written for him to you. By the time you say, okay, I was 59 last year, I'm 60. If what is written for you is 70, their own record will show it is less 1 year. By the time you had another one, you are cutting cake, you are celebrating. Their own record will say, okay, it's less 1 year. So please, as a Muslim, we must find ways of reminding ourselves always of this fact. We are in this life for a mission. And we shall be accountable for every single act that we perform on the face of earth. May Allah make it easy for all of us. So, as we were saying, this particular category of Muslims, those that have permanent incapacity, their own case can never be fa'iddatun min ayyamin ukhra, that wait until when your incapacity is over, then compensate, pay back. It's not possible. Then will they leave fasting altogether and do not have any duty? No. Their duty is to do what? Fidiyatun ta'amu miskin. So if you have a parent of old age, please do not force them to fast. Allah did not force them to do. And by extension, anybody that has permanent incapacity, even it may be a form of ailment, that there is no cure for, any any disease, any sickness, any ailment that has no known cure will fall in this category. What he or she must do is to feed for every single day that he or she fails to fast, must feed a needy person. This is the verse of the Quran al-Kareem. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرُ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ. Here, as we usually mention some details of the rules of Sharia. If the Quran says, feed a needy, how do you feed a needy? And to what extent do you feed a needy? Some scholars said, you provide both iftar and sahur for him or her. But the most correct position is that you provide to him with just a meal at a point of time, at any point in time. If it is sahur, that is one. If you had a store to eat, it makes what? It makes two. And that is why what you should provide is even measured. You will say muddu, like the one we give out during the Eid, zakat or zakat. Zakat al-Fitr is what you have as an obligation to give to a needy person for every day that you fail to fast because you are permanently incapacitated. Please, let us underline this one. Permanent incapacity. If your incapacity is temporary, your rule is فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. And this must actually take us to a very important matter that has generated a lot of unnecessary controversy in the recent times. A breastfeeding woman and a pregnant woman, what do they do if they are unable to fast? Unfortunately, a fatwa has become popular that you don't need to fast if you are pregnant. You don't need to fast if you are breastfeeding, but just feed a needy person for every single day. And it's a very wrong fatwa. Very, very wrong. It's not supported by the authorities of Sharia. It's a form of misunderstanding and misinterpretation of the position of the jurist of Islam. Because it's very clear, as we have seen in this verse, we are only three categories. Healthy, strong, no excuses, category one. Your duty is to fast. You must. Category two, you have reasonable, acceptable excuses. Don't fast, but since your incapacity is temporary in nature, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Category three is those who are permanently incapacitated. There is no way a pregnant woman or a breastfeeding lady is mentioned, neither in the Quran nor in the Hadith. No way. It's just a matter of what we call analogy. If the Quran mentions something, we then build on that similar and identical cases. It's accepted. Now let's face it critically. Let's assess it. A woman that is breastfeeding or a woman that is pregnant because of her weakness, let us assume it's weak. That weakness will continue to be with her till the end of her lifetime? The answer is no. The incapacity here is temporary. She will not continue to be pregnant until the end of her life. She is not going to be breastfeeding until the end of her life. That means she does not belong to the third category, but rather to the second category. So please, if you have been misled into believing, unfortunately, I don't know in this part of the country, but in some part of the country, we have women for 6-5 years, they have not been fast. She will tell you, I gave birth. The next year, I was breastfeeding. The third year, I was taking in. The fourth year, I was breastfeeding. And then I went to Europe. And they listen to this very unfortunate fatwa. Please, it is not supported neither by Al-Quran nor by the Sunnah of the Prophet. And as I said, it is even misinterpretation. They misinterpreted the fatwa of Ibn Abbas. The same Ibn Abbas that interpreted this verse was quoted to have said, a pregnant woman and a breastfeeding lady will feed for every single day a lady passes. But what does that mean? It means what some Muslim Jews, like Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and even partly Al-Imam Malik, their own position is that if somebody is not ill, herself is not ill, but she is only afraid of her child, and that is the case of a pregnant woman and a breastfeeding woman. There's no ailment, there's no sickness. She may be very strong, but because she's afraid this may affect her child, that they said her own ruling is done. She will compensate and feed. Because it's not ill, you are not sick. This is the position of Al-Imam Shafi'i. That was the position of Al-Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam Malik, the reason why I said partly, because Al-Imam Malik differentiated between the two cases. As for breastfeeding woman, she said the same thing as the other Jews, that there is no excuse for you. She is only afraid of her child. So she must repay that today, but in addition, she must also feed. But Imam Malik saw a pregnant woman as being weak as sick. Imam Malik saw a pregnant woman as being weak, as being sick as sick. And that is not why he exempted her, that she only needs to compensate and not to feed a lady person. So if Ibn Abbas, when Ibn Abbas says it does a summary of the ruling. He never said she shouldn't pass, but in addition to that, and this, as I said, is the position of many jurists of Islam. Al-Imam Shafi'i said so, Al-Imam Ahmad said so, and even partly Al-Imam Malik bin Anas. So please, it's unfortunate that this thing is becoming popular and it's very wrong. We didn't know this in the past year, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So please, let us retrace our steps. Categories of people in relation to fasting are three. You are healthy, strong enough, no excuse. You are incapacitated temporarily, take note of the number of days and pay back later. You are permanently incapacitated, no need of taking note of days, because it will never be over. Then you just go straight and feed for every single day a needy person. وعلى الذين يتيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا. تطوع, it has even become part of our local language. In some parts of the country we say tatawa. It means what you do that is not obligatory on you. Malam, is it the same in Hausa? But in some languages they say tatawa. It means it's not obligatory on you. This is the same thing, the same thing. Allah said, having given you the obligation, you can have more reward by way of tatawa, by way of doing extra. There is room for extra in Islam, please. And that is why I would also mention a fact here. A lot of Muslims do not know the importance of praying nafila after obligatory prayer. Some will come, be wasting his time outside the mosque, talking until the qomah was raised. You will enter mosque. No nafila before salah. You are surcharging yourself. And immediately the Imam says that salamu alaykum is out. Yes, you have done the obligation by praying the obligatory prayer. But what stops you from having nafila? Nafila means additional reward, tatawwu. So Allah is saying, even in fasting, you can have additional reward. No, nobody stops you. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. Whoever does more by way of trying to earn more reward, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. That is the best for him or her. That is the best for him or her. Now, scholars will say, how do you earn more reward in Ramadan in relation to what is mentioned in this verse? Remember, what was mentioned last is that feed a needy. every day.
Feed a needy, I said the minimum is to feed a needy with what? A mudu, just like a cup of either rice, raw food material is enough.
But if you can have to eat a kilo of meat and a kilo of palm oil or whatever oil, pepper, Allah will not overlook all that. We must take advantage of many things given to us free in Islam. Allah will tell you this is the minimum, but it doesn't stop you from gaining more. The issue of zakat that we discussed some few days ago, we said zakat is how many? Is how much? 2.5%. But do you think if you give 3%, Allah will not give you more reward? He will. So the fact that he has stipulated the minimum doesn't mean you must be stingy for changing yourself. Try to earn more. In salah, try to earn more by claiming nafila. In siyam, try to earn more by observing siyam in some other day. In feeding the needy, try to earn more. Instead of just giving him or her raw food, have something to make him or her happy. That will mean an additional reward for you too. Other scholars say, فَمَنْ تَطَوَّ أَخَيْرًا مِنْ is only one needy that you have an obligation to feed. But in a household, you find them 4, 5 people. Why don't you feed all of them? You think that will not be better for you? فَهُوَ خَيْرُ لَهُ is better for you. If you can add more, one, two, three more needy people, that is the best for you. فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَهُ and to fast is the best thing for you. That is why the best act of ibadah that you can engage in Ramadan is fasting. It's the best. وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا to fast in the month of Ramadan. Even if you have an excuse, we will return back to the question we answered some days ago. We said some form of ailment is in between, not severe and not minimal. Then you are at liberty to choose whether to fast or not to fast. If you choose to fast, Allah is telling you, for who are fair with nothing, that is better for you. Something that will not harm you, headache, small pain, fast is better for you. وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ if only you knew. Human beings is just because of our ignorance most of the times. We don't know what is good for us. We don't know what is better for us. You see people running away from the gate of Al-Jannah and rushing to enter the gate of Hellfire through the simple act they perform. They don't know what is good for them. They are not aware of their interest. They don't know where their real interest is. And that is why Allah is telling us here, if only you knew, fasting is the best thing for you. Best thing for you in the world and best thing for you in the hereafter. May Almighty Allah make it easy for all of us and accept all our acts of ibadah. At this point that we shall call it a day for today's success session. And inshaAllah ta'ala, same time, same place tomorrow, the tafsir will continue by the grace of Almighty Allah. For the remaining minutes, if there are questions, either written or even verbally, we will entertain those questions for the rest of the minute. And our sister, may Allah reward you handsomely. You are busy preparing the store for us. But even if you have questions, you can draw it. I mean, we can make an arrangement for that so that they can send in their own questions written. Because I know they are listening to what you are saying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Okay, doctor. Wa alaikum salam.
My question. For
Good. That is a very good question. Thank you. Somebody has a duty to fast, but is unable to fast. Allah has made it easier for him or her to feed. But subhanAllah, what Dr. Abdurrazak has just said will remind you of the blessings of Almighty Allah. Some people cannot even afford to feed themselves, talk less of feeding others. So if you are able to feed yourself, you better say Alhamdulillah. You do not have a car, you do not have a house, but you are blessed. You are blessed. For being able to feed yourself and your family is a great favor. Look at the question, and it's a reality. It is a reality. That some people may not even be able to feed. They don't have enough for themselves and their family to feed. Talk less of going to feed others. Islam is a very simple religion. The verse of Al-Quran that I recited some few days ago is the direct answer to this. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Almighty Allah to the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. And who will determine that ability? Allah Himself, you know. If you are able and you tell us, you tell your imam, you tell your scholar that I'm not able, it's not to you, between you and your God. But if truly you are unable, He has never put on any soul a body that is heavier than him and that. It's a verse of Allah. That is why He says, فَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. But try to reach that peak of the best of your ability. And you are a good judge of your own self. For example, you have half a mudu. You do not have complete mudu. What you have, that's the best of your ability. You don't have what you have, one quarter. You have 1/10. That is the best of your ability. But even if it happens that you don't have any, He knows you are unable and will never punish you for that. And interestingly, do you know this scenario happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It really happened. During the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a man committed a very serious crime. What is that crime? He had an intercourse with his wife during the day of Ramadan. You know, it's a very serious crime. The compensation for that one is not just one day of fasting. It's 60 consecutive. 60 what? Consecutive. Continuous 60 days of fasting. Shahareini mutata. Then the man ran to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, crying. But in the narration, he said, Ahlaktu, ahlaktu wa ahlaktu. I destroyed myself and destroyed my spouse. Because the destruction. What did you do? He said, we have intercourse in the day of Ramadan. And the Prophet said, you know the rule. Fast for 60 consecutive days. The man thought, and said, oh, the Prophet of Allah, I couldn't bear a day of fasting. Do you think I would be able to bear 60 days of fasting without committing the sin? Very merciful, the Prophet of Allah. He's always accommodating. It's not like us today. If somebody tells an imam or a scholar, you get angry, you are not serious. The Prophet looks for an alternative. He will always look for an alternative, if there is any. The only way he will stand his ground is where there is no alternative. And please, those of you that are in position of leading people, guiding people, if there are alternatives, don't hesitate to tell them. It's a religion of Allah, not yours. But if there is none, don't fabricate any. Because that is also dangerous. Don't say, because I want to be lenient for you people, fabricate excuses for them. That's dangerous. The Prophet looked for an alternative way, a way out for the man. He said, okay, if you are unable, can you free a slave? If you have the money, buy a slave and set him free for Almighty Allah to become a free man or a woman.
The man said, Yeah,
where will I find money?
Yeah,
that money they said it's very expensive. Prophet of Allah, I can't.
Then the Prophet looked for a further alternative.
Said, okay, the last alternative for you is to feed 60 indigents.
Feed what?
60 indigents. Instead of feeding just one, you have to feed how many? For just one day, breaking a day of the fasting of one day.
The man also thought and said to him, I said, where will I find something to feed? In fact, it's difficult to feed myself and my wife.
Look at the mercy of the Prophet.
He didn't send him away. He was looking for alternative, but if there is any, I'm repeating it.
If there are alternative, don't hesitate to let people know. Is the religion of Almighty Allah.
But if there are none, stand your ground
that this is the rule and you don't have any speech.
But there is another.
Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought of a different one.
Then he said, sit down there. The man sat down.
He didn't know what would happen.
Until somebody came with a basket or a bowl full of things that can feed 60 indigents.
You know, in those days, they used to feed on date alone.
We eat date today just as a preparation for the real meat.
Meat, date was their real meat in those days.
We have to thank Almighty Allah for many of the favors.
Then the Prophet said, where is that man?
He said, I'm here.
Okay, Allah has provided for you a way out.
Take thee and feed 60 indigent Muslims.
And that will be all.
The man is an olivatist.
He was an olivatist.
He took it and he was about to get out. He came back to the Prophet and said, Prophet, whom did you say I should see the needy?
He said, from the beginning of Medina to the end of Medina, there is no poorer family than my own family.
If really I'm going to feed a poor family, it will be my family.
But the Prophet said, if you are truthful, if you know that is the case, you are the poorest of the poorest, then take it and feed your family with it, and it is all.
That was the progress of Allah, the progress of mercy, the progress of kindness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That is why it was described in Al-Quran al-Kareem as what?
بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَغُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ.
It's very massive. It doesn't want anything to harm us. So if it tells you to do something, know that that is what is pleasing to Almighty Allah. It never wanted to put any serious burden on you or me.
May Allah make it easy for all of us.
Okay, so we requested and it has come from women.
Okay, from a man, okay.
No, it's a woman. I mean, I had a baby. A man cannot have a baby. I had a baby 2 weeks to last year, Ramadan, so I couldn't fast. Presently, I'm still breastfeeding, but I am able to fast. Good. Can I still pay back last year, back after the summer?
Yes, not can I, you must.
My dear sister, you must.
So I'm very glad that you are able to fast this time around. Make sure you complete. To the best of your ability, fast for this month of Ramadan.
Then after Ramadan, please try to make up.
You have 11 months, 11 old months to do that.
This is part of the mercy of Almighty Allah.
You know, the obligation of Ramadan must be consecutive. We fast continuously.
So, but when you are paying back, it's lenient. It's easier for you.
You can fast today and fast next week and fast next week and fast next month. You have whole 11 months to do that.
So you have to do that, my dear sister. Yana, make it easy for you.
She continue. Food or money, which is best for fidya?
Well, in your own case, you don't even need fidya. Get it right.
Pardon?
It's a different pattern. Okay. This question says food or money, which is best for fidya?
Fidya should be with food.
You know, everything has a rule in Islam. When you are to give money, Allah will tell you. When you are to give food, He will tell you. Don't mix up things. So please provide food, either raw, if you are able to, or even cooked. It's part of if you do more, you have more reward. Instead of giving raw food, if you have it cooked with some salad and plantain to match with a plate of rice, you will have more reward for Allah.
Doctor,
I get it.
Thank you, Mala.
Now, doctor.
Well, yeah.
Okay. The woman. Okay.
No.
It's not. It depends on their condition. So it is not that if you are breastfeeding. Because thank you very much, Dr. Malumfati. Some women have that understanding today. That the moment you are pregnant, you shouldn't fast. You are breastfeeding, you must not fast. It's a wrong notion. It's very wrong. Thank you very much. This is what you draw our attention to. No. It's like a mild sickness that you can cope if you like fast. But if you want to defast, then you must stay back after Ramadan. So it's not mandatory that once you are pregnant, once you are breastfeeding, you shouldn't fast. No, it's not like that. So it's almost time for talk. Well, we have the overall Amir closely seated in front of you. So if he allows us, General, can we take? Okay. That's a very good one that a lot of people do not know. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man mata wa alayhi siyamu sama anhu waliyu." Man mata wa alayhi siyamu sama anhu waliyu. Whoever dies while still have on him or her a number of days of fasting, his relatives must fast on his or her behalf. The only controversy is that some scholars believe it is only when it is a form of fasting that he had made a vow to do. You know, some people will make a vow that if Allah gives me this, I will fast for a number of days. They said that one is number one obligation because it's like a debt. When you vow that if Allah gives me this, I will do this, it becomes a debt on you. Some will restrict it to that one, that it's only that one that they must fast. But a lot of scholars will generalize it, that any fasting that is obligatory, and it is safer for you to go that way, is a way of showing mercy and kindness to your parents and your relatives. That if they miss any number of days because of sickness, because of whatever reason that is genuine, then one should actually fast on the other hand. So, on this note, we have to call it a day so that we have time to supplicate and make dua before we break our fast. We thank Almighty Allah for giving us the opportunity, and we ask Him to send on to give us more of His favors and blessings. As we have witnessed the beginning of Ramadan, may we also live to witness the end of Ramadan. And whatever act of ibadah we perform in this holy month, may it be acceptable to Him. May Allah make our road to Al-Jannah to be easier and easier day by day. May Almighty Allah take us far and far away, farther away from the hell and from the gate of hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us peace once again. We need peace in this country, to give us security, to give us peace. and to let peace reign in every home in the entire nook and cranny of Nigeria, particularly in this institute, the National Institute. May Almighty Allah continue to give us peace and security and guide those who are saddled with the affairs of the institute, the management, the staff, every stakeholder in the institute. May Almighty Allah guide us all aright and send us more of his blessings and more of his favors. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وإياكم.